Does gentrification look like in your community, nationally, or from the perspective of your organization or institution? We'll go down the line. Charles, on down the line.
First, I want to say I want to take the responsibility that Dr. Daniel spoke of to provide the creative tension. And I think I'd like to play that role. Only because we can talk about gentrification, but there's a larger problem. And that is the problem of a racist, predatory, parasitic, blood-sucking capitalist system. And the solution is revolution. The solution is socialism. The solution is us electing black officials that are not descriptively black, they look like us, but authentically black, they committed to us. Our biggest problem in our neighborhoods is black neo-colonial puppets of the Democratic Party. That is the problem in our neighborhood in New York. So you know how we stop gentrification? How does gentrification look in East New York? In my section, it does not exist. And it doesn't exist because I got a beautiful African queen wife named Inez Barron, who's a city council member. I'm the state assembly member. So when the developers came to our community and they showed us these pretty pictures, we asked them, what is the AMI? What is the area median income requirement? Because if it's not the area median income of East New York, you are not building it in East New York. East New York is the community had the largest increase in the black population is in East New York. 13.2%. Harlem lost 14% of its blacks, 400% increase of whites. Bed-Stuy, 600% increase of whites, lost 16% of its blacks. I have the distinct honor to be able to come before you and say I actually lost white population in my community. I lost them. They left. I didn't ask them why. They left. So if you see one or two or three or four or five whites in my neighborhood, they're passing through. But that's on a serious note. We got 13,000 black elected officials in this country. We've had mayors, we've had governors, we have city council members. We need to get radical revolutionaries elected. We need to get people that are really committed to us, because just having a black face in a high place doesn't mean anything. Even if you are the president, they said don't mess with the black president. When you don't mess with black leaders in high places, we are in a difficult situation. We got to deal with it, because if we don't, now, I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to run out of here. One of the good things about having Trump is all y'all are angry. If you would have had somebody else, you would have thought you made progress, and you would have been cool. This fool is disrupting the whole world. Everybody's angry with him. So it provides more impetus for the movement. If Hillary would have been elected, y'all would have been saying, wow, we got a woman elected. You'd have thought you had some progress and you would want to sleep. Capitalism is predatory. And if you go for what they call the compassionate capitalism, that's an oxymoron, but compassionate capitalism is you get a $15 minimum wage and some food stamps. Compassionate capitalism is you get a few jobs and a few programs for your community, but it still provides the impetus for the rich. It still exploits, but like Malcolm said, you suffer peacefully because you have the wrong people in power. I have more to say later. But stay ready for the revolution, because that's the only solution.
I just want to make sure we're still on the air. Roll call. WBAI, we good? WPFW, we good? We still on? SiriusXM, we good? C-SPAN, I see a red light on C-SPAN. They good, all right. Amen. I'm mischievous. Somebody once asked me to, in an interview, you know, Mark, what do you think about the most powerful political couple in American history? And they thought I was going to talk about half of the couple he just mentioned. And I said, you mean Charles Nines Barron? What does gentrification look like to you and your community and the institutions you serve? Amen.
Good evening. I bring you greetings from Jackson, Mississippi.
Amen. Yeah.
On behalf of Mayor Shokwe and Antar Lumumba.
Yeah.
And I'd like to say that he is not one of those Negro politicians that we've referenced earlier. Mississippi, in Jackson, we're in the process of rebuilding. We're in the process of rebuilding a city that has been exploited and divested in for decades, even with black leadership. But we even though we don't face gentrification the way many of our other urban areas are facing it, we understand that as soon as we rebuild it, we will have to address it. Our mayor often makes the statement that we will not move our people from one state of misery to another. And that's essentially what gentrification is. Our commitment to our people is involve them in their government. Mm. Our commitment is to design our economy, which we call a dignity economy, meaning that every single citizen in Jackson, Mississippi deserves to be treated with dignity and respect, regardless of their economic status, their social status, their level of education. We are committed to building a just society for all human beings.
Yeah.
And in building that just society, we understand the relationship that we as proprietors, as elected officials, the role that we have to serve. We have to serve the role of servant leadership. We are servants.
Yeah.
We are servants of the people. We understand that so often we don't listen, especially when we get elected or we have the doctors, you know, the letters behind our names. We often think that we have the solutions. We have come to understand that we cannot craft solutions unless we craft them in concert with the people who put us in office. So as we build, we constantly touch bases with our citizens. We have what we call people's assemblies, where we go out. When we're getting ready to do something within the city, we go out and we say, what do you think about this? And if you agree with this, how should it be structured? What's the best way this will affect you? We're implementing participatory budgeting to help citizens understand, because they see millions of dollars in the budget and they don't understand how that money is allocated or how it is used. We want them to understand the budget so they can make meaningful input into how their tax dollars are being used within the city of Jackson. So I don't want to go over my 3 to 4 minutes. I just want to say, for those of you who are not aware, our current mayor is the son of Shokwe Lumumba, the revolutionary attorney and member of the New African Independence Movement. Free the land. Free the land. Free the land. All right, all right. And his father made a statement. His father was elected as mayor in Jackson in 2013. He died. He passed on after 10 months in office. Yeah. During his campaign, he made the statement that we all in our administration hold very dearly. If you don't love the people, you will eventually betray the people. We have to put people in office who love the people.
That's right, that's right.
And we have to hold them accountable, because power is seductive. Power is very seductive. So we have to make sure that those of us who love the people, that we elevate to these positions of servant leadership, are held accountable, held close to us, so that that love can continue and we can craft freedom and self-determination together. Thank you.